Hello and welcome to our second podcast, reflecting back on the Synod of Bishops meeting for the Middle East that took place in the Vatican in October 2010. As usual, when we look at the Middle East, I'm joined by Dr. Harry Hagopian, the Bishops Conference consultant on the region, to look back at the Synod and analyse its strengths and its weaknesses before asking the important question, what next? But first of all, I ask Harry just how useful and worthwhile the Synod really was.
Well, I think it was very worthwhile and very useful, James. Unfortunately, it was a little bit too late. I hope this had happened a few years earlier, because as the years have gone by, pressures upon Christians across the whole region have increased incrementally, and therefore it would have been good to discuss those issues a few years back. But having said that, it happened, and I think the real motivating factor behind having this synod now was the situation in Iraq. And interestingly enough, we've just done a podcast on Iraq that your listeners could go to. So the message that came out is a message of solidarity. It's a nice message that basically underlines the issues and the problems facing Christians across the whole Middle East. And by the whole Middle East, we mean literally Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and even Iran and Turkey had representatives there, as did the Gulf. And you and I have spoken in the past about my fascination with the Gulf, because that is an area, take even Saudi Arabia, with all its migrant and expatriate communities coming and working there. Take the Gulf countries like Qatar and other countries, which have a huge expatriate Christian community and which have churches. I mean, I've visited the churches in Qatar, for instance, in Doha, and the Catholic Church, which is beautiful. It's a cathedral, and next to it there is even a small chapel. And you can suddenly realize that the stereotypes we have of those Gulf countries being countries where there is an austere kind of Islamist application is not entirely true. Things are changing. So this synod took into consideration this, but it also focused on the uncertainties and problems and fears of Christians across the whole Middle East. So the message is nice. The message is available on the websites. People can read it at their leisure. But there were also 44 propositions, what are called working propositions, that were submitted to the Holy Father, and the Pope will look at them within the next year or so, and then come up with what is known, and as you said, the mouthful, an apostolic exhortation, which basically is a roadmap as how he sees the churches in the Middle East, from Lebanon to Jerusalem to Iraq to elsewhere, applying some of those results that came out of the synod. Now, this is the setup. Let me now share with you and with your listeners a little bit what I think happened. And to do that, I want to go to 1995. Why? You raised your eyebrows. In 1995, the late Pope John Paul II called for a special assembly or a special synod for Lebanon.
Yeah.
And everybody was excited because Lebanon was going through a very tumultuous, turbulent time. The Christians felt they were under pressure. There was civil war in the country, and the hope was that this synod would be a rallying point for all Christians, that it would motivate them, it would introduce a sense of renewal into the church, which means the faithful, not necessarily the buildings, and that that would itself enhance our Christian faith. Since 1995 and since those good days of the synod, nothing really has happened. And if you talk to many people in Lebanon, both within the church and on the streets of Lebanon, they will tell you, oh yes, there was a synod. Did it achieve anything? Not really. So my worry is the following. Even if we assume, and even if we're grandiose enough and bold enough to say that some sort of a vision is beginning to come out of this synod, the vision in itself is only an idea. That idea will not germinate if we do not irrigate it, water it, nurture it, work on it, and work on it seriously. And therefore, that means that we do not only need to look at those grandiose solutions that we can bring into the region. I don't think there is such a thing as a panacea, a solution for the whole, for the Christians of the whole region. I think what we should look at are short-term solutions to problems they are facing today. And I think this is what the church leaders were looking for when they went into the synod. Otherwise, I know, for instance, the Middle East Council of Churches, for the past 20-odd years that I've been associated with them, and they're based in Lebanon, have been having one conference after another, talking about Christian emigration and what do we do with the Christians who are leaving the countries of the region, how do we motivate Christians to stay put, and how do we introduce a sense of renewal into the Christian faith, which is essential, otherwise the church, the faith is dead and the church is dead. And nothing really much has happened except more and more paperwork and more trees destroyed in the Amazonian jungles as a result of those papers. So in a sense, what is important is to go hand in hand with this vision, some short-term solutions to those issues. And there are a few areas that I would, if you'd like me, highlight that would make this more credible.
Before we do that, I just want to ask one question. Important as it is, it was called for a long, long time. We've had a synod for the Middle East. Is the Middle East too vast a topic? You mentioned Lebanon as a single country, but can you actually take a list of things that one could do to make things better? When you're talking about the whole of the Middle East, you've mentioned all the minorities, you've mentioned all the various different cultures and faiths, and it blows my mind. How can we deal with it as a whole?
It blows my mind as well, James, most of the time. And you are absolutely spot on. If your listeners log on to the website of the Bishops' Conference and they look at my second article on the Synod, I actually raise this very point. And the way I put it is that the region is not a monochromatic region. We cannot sort of say, here is one region. We have to find one set of solutions which applies to everybody. We can't do that. You can't tailor solutions to the region. You have to look at country by country because the social problems, the social issues, the political issues, the religious issues, the interfaith issues differ from country to country. But underneath it all, there is one constant, and that constant that actually grabbed the imagination of the participants at the Synod is the issue of numbers. When you look at the numbers and when you look at a region which had 20% Christians, local indigenous, mostly Arab Christians, some decades ago. And now if you look at it, the region has anything between 2% and 6% of Christians, then you realize the drastic drop in the number of Christians. And I think this is where they were trying to find ways of encouraging those Christians to stay put. However, each country is different from the other. Iraq is not Lebanon. Lebanon is not Israel-Palestine. For instance, in Israel-Palestine, Palestinian Christians are not only suffering from economic issues, they're not only suffering from a rise in political Islam, they're also suffering and have suffered for since years and years and years from an Israeli occupation, which has meant that they have felt like second and third rate citizens, and therefore they cannot live there, or at least their kids and their future generations cannot live there. So each country has its own specificity, and that specificity was addressed clearly in the Synod. But then, that's where I come to the issue of the vision. You address a problem, but if you do not find a solution to it, that's the difficulty. And to find a long-term solution for such specificities is different and difficult, whereas to find short-term answers might be the way to go about it. And I really hope that between the message, between the work of the parishes within each country as they apply what they learned and discovered at the Synod, with the enhanced sense of communication between leaders from different parts of the region who probably hadn't spoken with each other for years, that all this will come together and create a momentum that will not solve problems, that will not redress issues, that will not re-augment Christian numbers, but that would actually staunch the hemorrhage and probably give Christians, local Christians, largely Arab Christians, reason for hope to stay in the country. And hope, along with charity and love, are the important constituents of our faith. And if we take the theme of the Synod, communion and witness, I think that speaks for itself.
Two final things. The first one, how much is the future of the Middle East going to be dictated by, if you like, a breaking down of the ignorance of those countries, probably ours included, outside of the Middle East, do you think?
Well, I think it's very important. First of all, they have to break the barriers amongst themselves, as Christians first, and then Christians and Muslims, and then secondly, barriers between Christians in the Middle East and Christians in the West, because Christians in the Middle East often complain to me when I meet them, and I travel there fairly frequently, that the West doesn't even realize that there are local indigenous Christians. People have somehow conveniently forgotten. If you talk to an American evangelical Christian who can recite the Bible from cover to cover, but if you ask him, what about the Christians in the Middle East? And he looks at you like you're coming from planet Mars, whereas I thought that everybody knows that the Bible sprang from the Middle East. So in a sense, if we can raise the awareness of people that there are Christians who've been witnessing to their faith for almost two millennia, and that we have a responsibility as part of this universal fellowship that all Christians subscribe to, we have a responsibility to stand by them and with them prayerfully and in action in order to make sure that the Word of God and the place of God stay put.
And finally, Harry, we've got all the propositions and we know, I'm going to ask you, what about the future? We know the future will involve the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, but to you, tangibly and practically, what next?
You said that better than I did, James. Listen, for the future, I'll tell you what needs to be done is for the Christian leaders in the Middle East to talk more amongst themselves, for the Christians in the Middle East to talk more with the Christians in the West. And Archbishop Vincent Nichols has already expressed an openness to that. Archbishop Patrick Kelly from Liverpool was a delegate at the Synod, so he contributed to the Synod and he was aware of all the dynamics of the Synod. And that is essential because he's a foremost theologian and somebody who could light up the grim surroundings of the discussions that were taking place and the debates that were going there. Besides James, Bishop Declan Lang, who is the chair of the International Affairs Department at the Bishops' Conference, is fully aware of this need to draw the communities, the Christians of the Middle East, with those here in England and Wales. For instance, this is why we went to Lebanon. This is why we stood in solidarity with the Christians of Lebanon. And this is why we are also planning, hopefully, to go to other parts of the Middle East, perhaps Syria, perhaps elsewhere, in order to show that the communion and the witness that the Synod spoke about for the Christians of the Middle East does not only stay within the Middle East, but it actually goes outside the Middle East to all brothers and sisters of the faith worldwide. That's one thing. The second thing that's important is that for those Christian leaders in the Middle East to take the lessons they learned from the Synod from Rome and apply them on a parish level, each in his own conference of bishops and then regionally across the Middle East. But there are two other very important factors without which all the rest, in my opinion, becomes subsidiary. The first one is that you cannot act in the Middle East only as Catholic churches. You have to act ecumenically. It is a fact that in some countries, the Orthodox Christians far outnumber the Catholic Christians. So if you start doing a strategy for Catholics only, without including or factoring in what the Orthodox Christians, the Greek Orthodox, the Copts, the Syrians, the Armenians, what they think, then you are actually doing what we always say we don't do, which is divide the body of Christ. And finally, what we need to do is realize that those Middle Eastern Christians are a small communities within a much larger Muslim reality. And therefore, it is very important to engage with Muslim leaders, scholars, in order to be able to bring down those barriers between faiths and in order to make us understand Muslims better and, crucially importantly, for them to understand us better and to realize that Christians in the Middle East have the right to be in their part of the world. And that, incidentally, James, cannot only be done on the level of clergy, it has to be done on the level of lay people. And one of the drawbacks of this synod was, although an attempt was made to increase the number of lay delegates and participants, most of the people who were talking were clergy. And therefore, the church doesn't work like that. The church is a communion of the faithful, the people in the street and the people in the buildings, and they should come together. And I should hope that the two would work together a little better so that we could perhaps strengthen the message that came out of this synod.
Well, Dr. Harry Hagopian, as always, appreciate your insight and your particular analysis there of the pros and the cons of this very important synod for the Middle East in the Vatican. Thank you.
Thank you, James, and let us live in hope, although the signs of hope are not always abundant.